So we've got the main event for NXT sorted now. It's Eddie Thorpe versus Dijak in an underground match. Oh, right. Well, last week we did do that big angle where Ilya, who's the champion, of course, was stretchered off with a big injury. So are we not going to make that the main event? Underground match! Right. Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. But, Eddie Thorpe and Dijak are not really top liners, are they? They're kind of sort of just above mid-card. And I'm just wondering if they should really be headlining an NXT show. Underground match! Yeah, all right, okay, I understand. I just think that perhaps the underground match, whenever it's been done before in the WWE, hasn't been all that successful. Underground match! You're just going to keep saying the words underground match whenever I say underground match. Yeah, you are, aren't you? And that's what we get. An underground match. That's your main event. All right, they do give us a little bit of something, which is, okay, we will put Trick and we will put the champion Ilya right at the end in a confrontation where they're signing the contracts with nobody else there, just in a darkened room. There's no solicitors there or anything like that. They've not mentioned about, well, I'm not sure about clause C, subsection B. Not anything like that. There's nothing like that. They're just in a darkened room. The one light just doesn't seem like the kind of, you need adequate ventilation and lighting, don't you, to be signing contracts. And that's what you got from NXT. It was variable this week. It was fairly good in some parts and not really all that good in quite a few other parts. I mean, firstly, we get this ridiculous angle, which is the Chase U angle of Andre Chase, who has got a gambling issue. And we shouldn't be making light of that, should we? No. Who last week was borrowed, first of all, he's borrowed lots of money and put Chase U into difficulties. And last week he was winning lots of money on a street type set. Not the street, a street type set. Yeah, we don't want to go out on the street to shoot this because we might get seen off by local people. Yeah, and he was winning lots of money and they wanted to continue. And so they had this ridiculous idea of, we'll fight next week and if we win, then we'll keep our money. And if you win, OTM, then out the mud, because they're from the streets, which is why they're called out the mud. If you win, you get a tag team championship match. Or do they both get a chance? I don't know. All I know is that at the time last week, La Famiglia, the tag team champions, agreed to it. No thought about any top brass or anything, or did anybody ask Shawn Michaels if you can get an appointment? He's so busy. So that match is the first match up, and I'm not really all that interested. La Famiglia are looking on. I don't know why. It doesn't really matter. I mean, they tried hard in this match. You get some Duke Hudson punches. I do like his work in the ring. And Chase came off the top. Then there was a nice Chase drop toe hold to a Duke elbow. He's got a lot of pep in his work, Duke Hudson. I like that a lot. Nima choked Chase and then just threw him into the corner when Duke got the hot tag. Got a big kick, a Death Valley driver. And he didn't want to tag Andre Chase, but Andre Chase said, I've got this. Came off the top. It didn't work out for him. And he fell to a spine buster and he's lost all the money that he got. I'm not sure that money was all the money that he owed, because I'm not sure you can really, a game of chance in a street, even if it's a street set, you're not going to win all that money back, are you? But it's not really working for Chase U at the moment, is it? And maybe they will massively crash and burn. I'm really bored with this storyline now, and I never thought I would be. I thought this was going to be a big soap opera, and that'll be do-do-do-do-do-do-do. But it's not. Chase, you are in trouble and I really don't care. And it's not been going on that long either. I mean, it's only about 4 or 5 weeks old, this financial storyline. And they've kind of sidelined the Thea Hale. Thea Hale becomes a woman storyline, which is a shame, really. You know, her and JC Jane. And the thing about us having no money, and I don't know what's going to happen, but whatever it is, I'll probably be yawning. Now, we've got the awards. Did the fans vote for these? I mean, I'm a fan, and I didn't. Did I get the chance to vote? I don't know. Maybe it was an email that came to me from Triple H or Shawn Michaels himself, from the desk of Shawn Michaels. Maybe it was. But anyway, the Creed Brothers are Tag Teams of the Year, which La Famiglia must be a bit cheesed off about. However, I heartily concur with that. Tiffany Stratton is the Female of the Year, which I presume Lyra Valkyrie is looking at askance. I heartily concur with that as well. She's done some superb work. And Ilya Dragunov is the Male of the Year. And quite right too. He is the champion. He is doing fantastic work. I hope he's the champion for many years to come. Now, next we've got the Heritage Cup match, which is Noam Dar, with Metaphor, of course, versus Briggs. You know Briggs is not going to win this. As his partner Jensen pointed out, it's not going to happen. It's not his kind of match, is it? But before we get there, we've got Trick and Mello. And Trick saying he might have to push the match back because, you know, his match with Ilya, because Ilya's injured. And Mello kind of saying, no, you need to do the match now. Kind of implying that you take advantage of the injury to win the title. You get a tainted victory, that's what you do. You get a tainted victory. Make sure the victory's tainted. That's the kind of thing. I'm reading into it, aren't I? But that's the sort of thing that I got. Now, back to this match. Oh, by the way, we see Eddie Thorpe arising. Underground match! Yeah. And early on in the first round, Noam Dar begs off because Briggs smacks him from pillar to post and back to pillar again. Then he puts some kicks in, which doesn't hurt Briggs. Briggs hits a big side slam, puts Dar down very well. There is a Dar sleeper, but Briggs comes up with a massive clothesline. I think he gets the first pin here, doesn't he? They spill out to the outside, and there's good action here, you know, and I like the way that Dar's team, Metaphor, because of course Briggs hasn't got a team at all, because Jensen wanted to be in his corner, which is part of the rules, and Briggs said, no, I need to do this on my own. It's part of the rules. Anyway, he's on his own, but Metaphor dragged Noam Dar back to the corner. I do like that. I also like Dar's elbow to the back of the head. I liked the work on the leg with Briggs trying to fight back. I liked it when Last Legend got involved and Briggs went to get the spit bucket and therefore lost. And we knew he would. You know, he was going to use the spit bucket and he was spotted by the ref. It was a rush of blood to the head and he's lost the opportunity. So it's not his fight. You knew he wouldn't win. It was a good match though, actually. It wasn't bad. At all. It wasn't fantastic, but it wasn't bad. And Dar keeps the Heritage Cup, and so he should. Now, we've got Bron Breakker with Nathan Fraser. Fraser. And apparently they'll fight later on. Nathan Fraser's face, after Bron said, well, let's fight. Or he said, let's fight. It was a bit of a picture, actually, as if to say, what have I done? They will have a quite good match later on, you know. Now, next we've got Cora Jade versus Carmen Petrovic. This has come about because, I mean, you can fight over anything now, can't you? I mean, Fallon Henley and Tiffany Stratton can fight over Fallon dressing up as Tiffany and doing a bit of an impression of her. And this one is because Cora's come back to the dressing room and has taken Carmen Petrovic's name down because that's her spot, usually. Now, they're fighting about this. They don't just talk about it and say, I'm not very happy, and I'm filing a grievance with Shawn Michaels, if you can catch him. Or Ava, who's his mouthpiece now, isn't she? Anyway, back in the ring, we've got Petrovic kicks, a nice Cora Jade shoulder to the midsection, some nice high kicks from Carmen, and that big DDT from Jade for the pin. I wanted a little bit more. It wasn't long enough for me, to be honest. But hang on a minute. Here's Dijak arriving in the building. Underground! Don't you worry. Don't you worry. There will be an underground match later on. There's no problem at all. I can assure you of that. Now, here's the semi-final of the men's breakout tournament. It doesn't seem to have been a very long tournament, does it? We've got Lexis King. Lexis, not Lexus. We don't want to get sued here. Versus Riley Osborne. Now, it's a bit of a difficult one to call here, isn't it? Because Riley Osborne has got a storyline with Thea Hale watching from the Chase U section and trying to kind of chat him up, flirting with him, you know, and not really succeeding. But Lexis is bound to win, isn't he? Because he's already had lots and lots of doings with them. You know, doings with Mello, actually, who's a top ranker, isn't he? In NXT. So there is a nice Riley Osborne springboard counter, punches and kicks from him. Lexis gets a single leg crab. Hale's cheering Osborne on, of course. A big spinning kick, and Osborne wins from a distraction by Bear Hill, who then comes down and beats up Lexis King afterwards. It didn't take long. Well, the match wasn't long. I wanted it to be longer. But it hasn't taken long for Lexis King to be put in a feud with somebody who is not a top liner. And I said when Brian Pillman Jr., Lexis King, arrived, that I hope he gets the opportunity. I hope they don't sort of get bored with him after a few months. Well, it's been a few weeks. I think they're getting bored with him. And I think they're going to put him in a feud with Bear Hill. Bale's not even in, not even really up the ladder, is he? He's on the beginning rings of the ladder, rungs of the ladder, or even rings of the ladder. It is rungs, though. And sucks to be Lexis King, actually. I'm sorry, Brian, but it looks like this is the beginning of a step down. I could be wrong, but it looks like you've had your go. Sad, really. Now then. We've got Mello versus Ilya as match of the year, voted for by the fans of NXT. Is it fans of NXT? Voted for by some people we asked in the car park. I don't know. Anyway, there you go. It is their match of the year. I'm not sure that I would call it match of the year, but it was a good one, I'll tell you that. I haven't really thought about it because I wasn't asked. Oh, I wanted that email from Sean. I really did. Or even Ava. Come on, Ava. Now, Nathan Fraser versus Bron. It was quite competitive, this. I'm very surprised. Fraser was quick to begin with, but Bron put him down. Of course, Nathan's going to use his speed, isn't he? As he said, he'll never stop running about, never stop moving about quickly. Breaker gets the knee in his face in the corner. Not in his own face, in Nathan's face in the corner. Nathan's got some offense, but there's a bronze spear and a gut buster, then a beel, and a sort of side bow and arrow. It's he is pulling back, he's cranking back on the neck and on the leg. This is Bron. But it is, you know, Nathan Fraser's Azure is on the mat. So on his side. So it is a side bow and arrow. I'm probably reading too much into this. There you go. Then Nathan comes back with a jawbreaker, some punches, a nice shotgun dropkick, and he sends Breaker into the steps. But Breaker hits the spear as Fraser comes off the top. Another spear for the pin. It was competitive, but nobody expected Nathan Fraser to win. Now, by the way, Damon Kemp is still on NXT. He's in that group, isn't he? And led by... his name? Oh, you know. Not Chad Gable, the other one. Yeah, you know. Drew Gulak. That's who it is. The NXT Chad Gable. Now then, they're called the No Quarter Catch Crew, aren't they? Yeah. With Miles Bourne and Charlie Dempsey and... And with Damon Kemp, who's still in NXT. And they want Wilde and Cruz. And they'll probably get him at some point, won't they? And that'll be actually a pretty good match. Right then. Jensen, Briggs and Fallon Henley are splitting up. They're going their separate ways. Well, I mean, Henley's got something with Stratton, so she's pushing up the rungs of the ladder. Briggs is pushing up the rungs of the ladder because he's just taken Dar to a pretty competitive Heritage Cup match. And Jensen's got... I think he's got a painting and decorating business that he's got to attend to. The great thing is that they both go, and he's left with that kind of, yeah, holding out his arm for them all to kind of, you know, put their hands on as a group, and no one else does. They leave, and he's just left there holding his arm out. He's left on his own again. Alone again. Naturally. Now, Ariana Grace and Ava, and Ariana's complaining about being hit by Roxanne Perez, who's got a new attitude, folks. If you didn't know, she certainly has. She wants Roxanne Perez to undergo anger management. But what Ava says instead is not what she wanted at all. She puts them together in a match, which Ariana kind of thinks. She says, oh, thank you. Thank you. I don't think she's really realised the implications of that yet. Now, Davenport and Lyra Valkyria are head-to-head, but there's no real... I mean, nothing happens. Blair does seem to be a bit angrier than Lyra, who seems to be playing the game a bit, but there's nothing interesting about this. They don't get angry, they don't beat each other up, because, of course, they did that the other week with the contenders, didn't they? So, the breakout tournament, so... What was it, the... No, it was the number one contenders match that Blair won, wasn't it? Yeah, it was. So, oh, was that the breakout tournament? Oh, I don't know. Anyway, this is not very good. It's just really ordinary. And you might as well have done it on Twitter, to be honest, and then they could have played that thing. You know, like they played Ridge Holland's message to Ilya. He didn't send it to Ilya. He sent it to everybody. He probably did that thing of send to all. Oh, I sent that to the whole world. You know, when he's saying how sorry he is and all that. Yeah. Now, let's get back to the men's breakout tournament, because it really means so much to... Oh, even I can't make that one fly. But this one was all right. Two big blokes. It was Oberfemi versus Tavian Heights. Now, Femi got most of the offense here, and clearly they're in his camp now. I mean, they could have been in either, but it looks like the choice has been made to push Oberfemi. He hits a big backbreaker, digs in some punches, throws Tavian Heights, which, I mean, it's surprising because Tavian's a big bloke. Nice Heights suplex throw, or release suplex, if you like, but it was more of a throw. Then you've got Femi hitting what can only be called a pop-up throw for the pin. I thought he just threw him up, really, in the air. And that was it. He was fairly dominant, and he had a stare down with Riley Osborne later on. I'm going to win. No, I think you'll find I'm going to win. No, I think it's going to be me. Anyway, enough of that. We've got an underground match to watch. But before then, we have Joe Coffey versus Joe Gacy. The Joes! Oh, before then, Ilya's in a neck brace, saying that he will face Trick at New Year's Evil. Well, we knew that, didn't we? Because we know it's not a real injury. So back to this Joe versus Joe match, which is blooming terrible. I mean, I like Joe Coffey very much. I like him with Gallus. I like the brawler image. He needs more time in this match to show us that. Didn't get the chance. Joe Gacy hit a nice senton. He can really wrestle when he wants to, but this new character of I'm a bit wacky and maybe I'm a little bit mentally ill. I don't want that kind of character. I don't want that. I don't want someone who would think, oh, he's a bit mentally ill. Isn't that interesting? No. No, and all that kind of, well, here I am in the audience and here I am under the ring. Oh, I'm doing unpredictable things. Yeah, you know, maybe I'm off my meds, that sort of thing. I don't want to celebrate that, really. And this match didn't help. Now, as I say, nice Joe Gacy senton, taunts Wolfgang on the outside, and of course is smacked immediately by Coffey, who sees his opportunity and seizes his opportunity. Ha, 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 ha. There is a Joe Gacy uranage. Gallus tried to intervene, but Hank and Tank come out and run them to the back. Then you've got a springboard clothesline, which he does very well, Joe Gacy, for the pin. It really was meh. But then you don't want to get too excited because they've got the Underground match to come. Yeah. Now, let me say that it was pretty good, this Underground match. But you've got Eddie Thorpe, who they, I mean, WWE are desperately trying to make him fly, and it's not really got there yet. I mean, they are doing quite a lot of, well, look at his native customs and all of that. I like that. I'm interested in that. But it's not really worked yet. Now they're doing a he's tough, you know. And then with Dijak, he's the kind of cool killer. But you've got Bron Breakker there. I think Dijak looks a lot more impressive than Breakker. He's taller, he's not broader, but he looks more dangerous. But with Breakker already there, it's difficult to make a case for Dijak. Although I'm trying, aren't I? Oh yes, very trying, one might say. Not what a whimsical shape. Now this match was all right. So, they segue from a black and white introduction to the colour, of course. Then Thorpe tries for a submission early on while Dijak works the leg. And then Thorpe tries again for an arm lock. Dijak just throws him off the mat or the mound or whatever we've got there. Suplex from Thorpe. Dijak hammer fists and a big knee. Then there's a feast your eyes from Dijak on the outside. And the thing is, Thorpe will not give up. That's the big thing now. Then he's got the leather strap round his hand, but Thorpe grabs it, whips him with it, tries a sleeper, and he's running to a post. It's a nasty DDT on the outside, does Eddie. Very nicely done, you know. Then goes back to the sleeper. Dijak walks up the steps to the ropes. To the ring, should I say, not to the ropes. There are no ropes in the Underground match. On the Underground! Walks to the ring with him on his back. And then there's a nasty brutal, not just nasty, brutal DDT through the table at ringside and or mound side, and Thorpe wins. Okay, one of them had to. Well, I suppose you could have had somebody running in, but Dijak is made to look like he can't handle a kind of match in which he should excel, because he is supposed to be this great tough bloke. So if you can't handle that kind of match, and Eddie Thorpe is not supposed to be able to handle that match, he's got reserves of resilience, it seems to me, or that's what they're playing, but it's not really his forte, is it? So Dijak, by losing, it looked terrible for Dijak. And I'm not saying I rate him. I'm not saying I'm holding a torch for him or anything, but I think he's got something that has been unrealised yet. Maybe that's why they're not high on him, because it's not yet been realised. He's had a few chances. Anyway, it was quite a good match, but not really the match that you want to main event NXT for. That's why you've got Trick and Ilya. Trick signing the contract and saying, I can't really see. Where do I sign? The signature, is it here? There's this thing that says witness here. We haven't got anybody with us. He doesn't do that, but he might do. And then Ilya taking off the collar, almost as if he doesn't need it, and then signing himself. Oh, that was boring. It passed the time. I mean, there is that. You know, it could count towards my community service. It doesn't, but if it did, I wouldn't mind. And New Year's Evil doesn't look like it's shaping up that well, to be honest. This really had some moments of aptitude and most moments of less than aptitude. I'm not saying it was inept. It wasn't. But, it doesn't half need some shaking up, this episode. Maybe there was just too much Christmas turkey. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was a surfeit of cranberry sauce. I'm going to put it down to that. And New Year's Evil had better be better, because they're on a bit of a roll at the moment. this is stalling that forward momentum. On the ground! Ta-ta.